How's everybody? I have to admit that when the pastor asked me to give my testimony, I did say I would do it at first, but I walked away and I was like, why did I agree to that? I don't want to get up in front of anybody and talk. This isn't really my comfort zone. I'm not probably going to handle this like, you know, Woody can. This is like his arena. But anyway, you know, I thought about it and I was like, I need to do this, even if I was able to just encourage one person just to keep someone going, maybe one more week, I think it'd be worth it. And so here I am. Like many of us in the church, I feel I was baptized at a young age. I believe I was between 7 and 9 years old when I gave my life to Jesus. I would like to say that I don't think I fully understood what I was doing at the time. I don't think I fully understood the magnitude of you know, what it was to, you know, give my life to Jesus. I don't know if I fully understood that, but I'm very grateful that my parents, you know, brought me to church and kept me going and got me in vacation Bible school and going to Sunday school and things like that, because it has changed my life forever. You know, they've done a great job over the years of really helping me, my brother, and my sister, you know, be Christ-like people. You know, when I was younger, and even so, you know, still today, I have a hard time sometimes wanting to get up and get going in the morning, especially on a Sunday. It's the weekend. I don't really want to do anything. Just kind of want to relax, right? So, you know, as a younger kid, you know, I'd wake up on a Sunday, and I don't want to go to church. I want to watch TV or do things like that. And my mom always had a way of getting me to go. So, you know, like most of us, after church, we go to lunch or whatnot. And so if I didn't go, I didn't get the tacos or whatever we were going to. We didn't, you know, wherever we were going for lunch that day, you know, I was stuck eating a sandwich or something like that. So that, and I think I speak for most of us, you know, your parents kind of had a way of letting you know if they were disappointed in you. And my mom was an expert at this. She didn't have to say anything. She just looked at you, and you knew you'd done something wrong. And so, you know, after a while, you kind of caught on. You're like, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm grateful that I care about what my parents think about me. I don't want to disappoint them. I want to do good things for them. And so, and I would never admit this at the time, but, you know, I'm glad I'm that kind of person where I do care about what they say and what they think of me. So it encouraged me to keep going. So, like I said, nevertheless, that one decision changed my life forever. And the way the day I gave my profession of faith is my parents took us to a power team event. I don't know if y'all know who they are, but they are a group of men and women that they're like bodybuilders, and they show off their feats of strength. So they're bending steel bars and they're breaking cinder blocks and things like that, and tearing phone books in half. And so as a young kid, I'm looking at these people like they're superheroes. Like this is awesome. I just think they're incredible. And at the end of it, they would give their testimony, and they would do it in such a way. It was just, it overcame me that I was like, man, I look at these people and I'm like, they're superheroes, and yet they gave their life to Jesus. You know, they still needed help. They couldn't do it on their own. And these guys are huge. I mean, they're 300-something pounds, 6'5", doing incredible things. And I'm like, if they need him, surely I do, right? And so it reached me in a new way, and I gave my life to Jesus that day. And again, it's just a testimony to what my parents did for me and bringing me to church and keeping me going. And I didn't know about this at the time. And I was actually speaking to my grandfather, who reminded me of it. I kind of forgot about it. And then I was speaking to my mother also. And when I was walking down the aisle to you know, give my public profession of faith, my brother actually followed me. I didn't know that at the time. He did it. And I don't know. I think I had it in mind that I was going to do it that day. I don't think my brother did. So it was just an encouragement for me to hear that. Because I didn't know about that. You know, I'm 30-something years old now, and I never knew that. I never knew he did that. So that was an awesome thing to hear. So time goes on. I move off to college, and I kind of grow farther away from God. I'm doing things I probably shouldn't be doing. I'm not living a Christ-like life. I wasn't, you know, attending church regularly like I was before. And, you know, I'm moving out of state to pursue career goals and whatnot. But I always had this tug in my heart, like, you know, Emery, you're not doing this right. This isn't the right thing. I don't know what it was. I couldn't explain to you what it was at the time. But something inside of me was telling me, hey, man, this is, you know, you don't need to be doing this. And I still prayed and things like that over the years, but I didn't, like I said, I didn't attend church regularly or do anything. I wasn't involved in any kind of way. And so, you know, time goes on, and I think in an indirect way, Jesus answered my prayers. And I met my wife, Jamie. Now, I got to brag on her for just a little bit. I'm going to embarrass her just for a little bit, but yeah, I just to preface, I'm not in the doghouse or anything. I didn't do anything wrong. But she is an integral part of where I'm at today in my walk of faith. She has been just a true inspiration. She's someone I've been looking for a long time. I've never been with someone who has encouraged me and helped me to keep going and keep doing the right things. And I'm so grateful to have her in my life. You know, she would be the first to tell you, you know, she didn't grow up in a church family. She didn't go to church regularly, didn't do the vacation Bible school thing. But isn't it amazing how God would take someone like her and use her to bring me along further than I've ever been in my entire life? You know, I've grown up in the church. You know, I told her this, I guess, about a month or two ago. We were driving somewhere, and I told her about it, and she kind of laughed in disbelief and looked at me like I was crazy. And I was like, no. I was like, you really are an inspiration. You really, really are. And because she said that she looked at me as the inspirational leader. And so I thought that was just, it's a testament to what God can do with anybody here in any walks of life. He'll take you where you're at, and he'll use you to do great things. And I think I just want to say that, you know, just if you don't think you're doing a whole lot, keep doing it. Because even if you're just doing a small bit, he's going to take those tiny things that we think we can't accomplish over time, he's going to take them and do great and wonderful things with them. So I just kind of want to wrap things up. But basically, you know, like I said, Jamie has been an integral part of my life, and I'm just grateful to have her. And I also want to talk about the church also. You know, y'all have been just great. And I grew up going to my parents' church over the years. I don't actually feel like I was ever involved at any point. Maybe this is because of my youth. I don't really know. But I know for the first time I actually feel like I'm a part of this. Like I'm actually contributing in some form or fashion. Even though, in my mind, I feel like I don't do a whole lot compared to what some of y'all do. Some of y'all go to just unbelievable. Y'all go to some unbelievable lengths to do things here for the church. And y'all are just an inspiration, I know, for me and a lot of other people around here. And I want to say thank y'all for that. Because, you know, Jamie started going to church here, I guess, about a couple of years ago. And y'all brought her in, and y'all encouraged her. And y'all, I guess y'all were doing something right because she kept coming. So y'all were doing something the right way. And it is amazing how the church can help someone who then can help somebody else. And I hope that, you know, with her helping me, I'm hoping that one day that I can help somebody else, or if I haven't already have. You know, I just think that's just an amazing thing, and hallelujah. Y'all have no idea the small impact, the small things, the acts of kindness you can have on a person. And I think me and Jamie are a testament to that. There's a verse in the Bible that I've grown very fond of over the past several years, and it's Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so does a friend sharpen a friend. And I look at y'all as a friend, and y'all sharpen me, and y'all sharpen her, who sharpened me. I mean, it goes on and on and on. I think that is just a testament to what everybody here that is a part of this church does. I think it's just a really big inspiration. He used this church to reach a woman who reached this man, and I know my whole family will forever be changed of it, and I can't say, you know, thank y'all enough. Appreciate it.
So no matter, you know, like I said, no matter what it was, I always stayed strong in my faith. Met my husband, had, you know, God always did an amazing job taking care of me. You know, my kids, weirdly enough, they never fought, at least not when I seen them. Probably, you know, I hear stories now, but, you know, anywhere we went, everybody commented, they don't fight. No, they were great, you know. Kimber went through her trials through teenage years, and she was a really, really great kid. She, you know, did a few things that, as a parent, I would probably not prefer my child to do. But, you know, as a whole in society, she was great. Brandon stayed home. He wasn't one to run off and try to do anything, you know. And it just was more testament on how he was looking out for me. But see, when I was a teenager in this church right here, there was a person come up, and she was given a testimony of all the trials and tribulations that she went through her life, and how God worked so hard to get her to where she was. And sitting right here where Don Taylor sitting right now, I was looking at her and I was thinking, you know, gosh, I'll never be able to say that. I'll never be able to get up and give a testimony of how far he's brought me. Well, Satan's smart. He doesn't come in and, you know, grab you and say, hey, look what those kids is doing. You need to do that. No. He knows your heart. And he knows where to get you. Well, you know, 40 years later, I wake up in a career surrounded by things that never would I ever wanted to be around. I tolerated foul language around me. As a manager of a restaurant, I tolerated employees sneaking out the back door doing things that they shouldn't be doing, that they shouldn't be working and doing. But it was a situation to where, okay, am I going to fire the whole staff? And looking back at where I started from and the way I was slowly, what's the word I'm looking for, slowly lulled into accepting it. This is acceptance. This is the way it's supposed to be. And it's not. And I looked around and I started praying. I said, God, please, I don't want to be here. So March, I lost my job. Best day of my life, March 1st. How many people could get up here and say, I got fired March 1st and it was the best day of my life? Since then, I stepped back and I said, what do I want to do? You know, I don't want to go back to that situation. And slowly, every time I made the choice, this is what I want to do. Every time Satan would get in, discourage me, there's something else that comes and points me right back in that way. I decided I wanted to build things with pallets. Within a day of deciding that, Michelle said, hey, I got some, come get them. Miss Karen said, hey, I want some doors. No matter what it was, there was always some way he was saying, you know what? I put you here to get you out of the situation you're in. And I thank him. I thank him for the full circle and bringing me back to this spot 40-some years later in the same church.
Man, I tell you what, this morning's been great. At least I've enjoyed it. The testimonies have been pretty phenomenal. I'm desperate without you. I'm lost without you. Isn't it amazing how we kind of all deal with the same things? I'm just getting arranged up here, moving in. But got to get set up. New territory for me. You guys don't see me up here very often, but here I am. The Lord works in mysterious ways, I will say. All right, I'm going to try and put this in here. Hopefully it's not too loud. It worked. Hello. All right. So here we are. Good morning and welcome. Pastor asked me as well to come up in front and speak to you guys for a little devotion. So, of course, I said yes, a lot like Emery. I was very excited. And excitement quickly turned to anxiety and worry and fear and wonder and oh my gosh, so how can I mess this up? There's so many ways. So after going through all those ways of how this could potentially blow up in my face and me look poorly in front of this church group, and you guys, I value you. You are family. So I wanted to do well. I worried for quite a while, and then sure enough, I sat down and I prayed. I really did. I was struggling, and I just opened up my heart. I was like, God, what am I going to say? I've thought of all these things. I've got logos. this massive collection of books. And anyways, fact of the matter is I was Googling through and looking, and I'm taking a class right now. As many of you guys know, I might be, I'm going through Grace School of Theology. It's a really awesome school, free grace-based school. And it's mandatory that you take a discipleship group. And in this discipleship group, you know, I forgot I signed up for it. I'm gonna, no lie. And the email, I didn't mean that as I didn't care. It means God's timing's perfect, because literally this week, and Jessica is my witness, the email comes in and says, hey, discipleship group, review your course content. And I start reviewing through, and lo and behold, there's this book. It's called Conformed to His Image, Biblical and Practical Approaches to Spiritual Formation by Kenneth Boa. And I'm like, good Lord, this is relationships as it goes with discipleship. And to which I named this devotion. All right, pastor has a bunch of catchy names. This isn't a sermon. I wasn't trying to prepare a sermon. And oh, by the way, I might need grace and mercy, because if I go over 20 minutes, it's meant to be. How about that? But I named it The Sailing of Two Ships, Relationship and Discipleship. All right? Is that good? Yeah? All right. So let's get into it. So I did, I used this book, Conform to His Image, and I was going off of it mainly, but definitely added my own flair to it. So to begin, we have to, when we talk about relationships and how it relates to discipleship, relationships are huge, and discipleship happens after you're saved, right? So you're saved, it's really awesome. It's a big milestone in your life. Sometimes you might not think it is, but God starts to work and things happen. Well, we start walking this path. And this path we might walk swiftly, maybe slowly, or potentially not at all. But we start walking this path, and this path is laid before us once we're saved. And discipleship essentially is growing in your faith, or fostering the growth of others, right? And you need real connection for this to happen. And relationships are essential for discipleship to happen. Sometimes it's hard, but it really isn't complicated. We can all do this. And the Bible lays out amazing wisdom, all right, for setting the stage and guiding us. So that's what we're going to talk about today. No one's walked out yet. I'm guessing you're with me. So that's great. So setting the stage. The reality is relatively few of us experience true friendship. Would you agree to that? The vast majority of human beings, as they walk the planet, experience very few friendships, true friendships. So we mostly connect with those that are like us or who we like to be. Our commonalities are kind of by default in a passive nature. It's not necessarily because we've dug a lot, we'll say, that we are connected and in a relationship with people. But there's a spectrum of intimacy that ranges from acquaintances to companionship to untested friendships to the intimacy of established friendship. And these established friendships and relationships are through tested, you know, fire, adversity, struggle, things that happen. And also the endurance of time, how long you've been friends or have a relationship with someone dictates, you know, how deep that is, because sometimes those small acquaintances come and go, right? What many people call friends is truly more likely acquaintances or just mere companions. So that's the reality of it. And the reality also is that we only have so much time and energy. The two most precious resources in life, I would say, on this earth of life, is your time and energy. Where you put both dictates a lot and tells a lot about who you are. As many of you know, I do some teaching at the Master Resilience course out at Maxwell Air Force Base. And we bring this up big time. I like to passively convict as I can in the secular world called the military. However, at the end of the day, I go, hey, we all have the same 24 hours. What are you doing with yours? You know, what choices are you making? How can you look at your time and your energy, budget that out, and see where you can maybe gain and increase your overall value? But real relationships require an intentional investment of that valuable time and energy. So you have to know that in the beginning. It's required to cultivate and maintain these special relationships, and it's critical. So as we develop, we have time and energy. We talked about the reality, you know. Sometimes we just connect with those that are most like us or who we like to be. And then these relationships have to be developed. Well, I think, would everyone agree with me that typically when you get into a friendship or relationship, it kind of starts with, like, the facts, you know. Hey, I like this about you. Yeah, I like that about you, and you're pretty cool because of this, and we have now a connection. They're basic facts. They're safe. It's safe, right? We start discussions, and we start to connect in a very safe manner. Well, that development turns into from sharing facts to sharing opinions. And it starts opening that door of vulnerability, and we can connect. And then from the opinions, we reach level of feelings, what we feel and how we feel. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm not too vulnerable when I'm checking out at Walmart and with the cashier. And I was like, hey, I'm just going to be vulnerable with you, even though you're a stranger. Here you go. I'm not going to do that. It might seem like I might, but truly I will not. And it's not comfortable. So, and they might feel awkward as well, especially when you're at the self-checkout. And you're talking. No, anyway, I just made that up, by the way. But all throughout it, it is important that we ultimately learn to love people without being controlled or consumed by them, because sometimes we can overinvest ourselves and we become controlled or consumed by this relationship, what it is growing into, or who they are, the decisions that others make in their own lives affect us in a very bad way, and we don't necessarily want that to happen. So when dealing with people, it is wise to hope but not to expect for certain behaviors, okay? To be well-balanced, have managed expectations. We do well not to center our whole faith or thoughts on that human being, because truly only God can sustain that burden. Would you agree? I definitely think we've got to trust God there. And then last but not least, before we get into the true wisdom and what the Bible offers, I just want to say there's some quality traits that we look for. Quality friendships are characterized by trust, openness, mutual respect, honesty, and self-disclosure. So there's no real pretenses in real relationships, real friendships and connection. So you can dare to be yourself, essentially. And a friend accepts us for who you are, you know what I mean? Thankfully, that's true, because Matt is truly accepted by a lot of individuals in this church, and we do that without pretense. Anyway, and he truly feels comfortable being himself, and we appreciate that. So it's reciprocal. I can, you know, I feel like it's okay to be vulnerable. Anyways, but it is founded on sharing basic consensus and beliefs, and it's about caring about the same truths. So we talked about commonality. It's kind of a narrow view, right? If we were only to connect with the people that are most like us, who we'd like to be, and give that our time and energy, that leaves out a lot, doesn't it? Because I don't know about you, but there's beauty in the diversity in this church. Not all of us are exactly like one another or who we want to be like. However, we share the same commonality of God and Christ in our life. And that sometimes, well, that is enough, period, dot. However, we as human beings have to make that effort to connect, to reach out, and to invest that time and energy purposefully within that 24 hours given to disciple and to grow. So I'm going to get a drink of water because my mouth's going dry. 100% transparency, you know. Anyways, but we're going to get into it. I got a total of 12 minutes left. And, well, that's perfect because I have 12 Bible verses. So I don't have slides for you guys to follow along. So if you want to just sit back and just mindfully listen and soak it in, I encourage you, because I'm just going to kind of roll through them and you might not have time to flip there. All right? Now, as you listen to these verses, I want you to just really take away the overall picture and perspective of what a friend is, what real relationships are. I do a lot of looking with the resilience piece that I teach at the base. I mean, we're all about modern day wisdom, pop psychology, you know, whether it be Les Brown, motivational speakers, Tony Robbins, there's a lot of things that I listen to. I'm all about quotes. If you know anything about me, I like quotes. And you'll get one by the time we get done here. But all I'm going to tell you is Aristotle, I mean, when I jump into Proverbs and I start reading the wisdom found in that book, my goodness, y'all. I mean, Aristotle has nothing on the Word of God. You start reading through Proverbs and you're like, man, human beings, the secular world has just repackaged this wisdom over and over and over. You know what I mean? Anyways, so we're going to get into it. Proverbs 27:10 talks about thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. Neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. So this verse doesn't discount family in any way, but instead highlights the fact of friends. Friends, relationships that typically are always there. They're there in the days of calamity. And relatives oftentimes, you know, are far off. And they don't necessarily frequent or there. And yeah. And also our relationships are tested in times of adversity. How often do your friends abandon you? Friends abandon you when calamity strikes, or do they gather around and support you? Right there is a good test for the quality of friends. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Oftentimes a friend is the constant, like we were saying, and a relative is only there at certain times. In Romans 12:15, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Real friends are empathetic. Empathetic. They weep with you when you weep. They have joy with you when you have joy. Isn't that important in your life? Do you feel encouraged when someone can rejoice and have joy with you when you're experiencing joy? When you're weeping, does it not feel good to have someone there to weep with you so that you can share that? It's pretty profound. Yeah, a real friend is empathetic. He enjoys rejoicing. A false friend, though, resents or is envious of another's good fortune. Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must shew himself friendly, and there is a friend that stick closer than a brother. In Ecclesiastes 4:9-12, this is pretty awesome. It breaks it down, gives a really good picture. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie, together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Man, that's awesome. It just outlines it. It gives a good basis for what friends are, quality relationships, and what you should seek. You can't go wrong following the Bible and God's Word. I'm telling you, it's crazy. It's not crazy. It makes sense. But the world would call you crazy. So the highest levels of friendship include the dynamic of a covenant or a covenant and commitment. Would you say the real good, high-end relationships you have? Would you say that there's some covenant there, some real commitment that is together? Absolutely. In this type of relationship, two people agree to walk together for a life in trust and in loyalty. So all this is to say, to set up what it is to have a relationship, to be discipled, and to connect. And we'll get into a little more here. Spiritual friends. How many people have spiritual friends? Okay, this is good. We're in church. Everyone should have spiritual friends. Look to your right, look to your left. This is a thing. All right. Spiritual friends believe in each other. They build into one another's lives. I see that happening a lot here. All right. The strength of this church, I just got to say, you know, I've been not to many churches, but it would sound great if I was like, I've been to many, but I haven't really. I will say, though, that this church, above and beyond any relationships I've seen and the connections I've experienced, the beauty here is, in this church, is the strength. Like, pastor is great, and while he's gone. I mean, I'm not talking ill, but I'm just saying the strength isn't in just pastor, right? The strength is in the members. And I'm telling you, the connection that we see in this church and the time and energy given to each other, it's a beautiful thing. You know, it is truly remarkable. And it's something to be savored and enjoyed. Anyways, that wasn't in my notes, but just had to go on that tangent. Felt appropriate. So they build into one another's lives and encourage each other to grow in the relationship with God. They are faithful and they are willing to ask the tough questions to keep one another honest. That's so important, right? You got to ask those tough questions. So they sharpen in Proverbs 27:17. Who's looking at whose notes? Because you just quoted that verse. Anyways, no, that's all right. He hacked my computer because I don't know. But needless to say, iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. That's beautiful. We do sharpen each other. You know, I watch that Forged in Fire on TV. If you don't know what that is, I mean, it's the refinement making of blades. You know, you have to throw it into the searing heat, pull it out, and there's only a little bit of time to where, guess what? You have to know when to hit that steel and strike when the iron's hot, right? And then you can shape and form it. And then after all that work, all that toil, all that energy is expended into that blade, you really have a beautiful piece of work. You know what I'm saying? And we can do that for each other when properly connecting in friendship, in relationship, and this ship, discipleship. So, yeah. So they sharpen, they counsel. A spiritual friend will counsel. Proverbs 27:9. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. They encourage, Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So, you know, Hebrews, wandering through the wilderness, things of this nature, that whole theme. Would you say we're wandering through a wilderness? Each and every day? I don't know about you. I am, you know? I mean, I might be driving on the road and walking down a sidewalk, but it might as well be wilderness, you know? At least what's going on inside my brain case and the struggles and adversity of the day-to-day managing tasks. I mean, it's a wilderness. And to have a brother or someone next to you to lift you up, it's pure bliss. I mean, it is truly a gift from God. And we must do that. And it says, it keeps us from falling into sin by lifting each other up. Just, yeah, that's awesome. Anyway, we need to constantly lift each other up and help each other. So let's get into rebuke, all right? I know some of you have probably been waiting for this. But a real friend rebukes when necessary and is candid and truthful. Now, candid and truthful. This is not a license to just say whatever. But you got to understand that there is times when a true friend might say some things that are truly are tough to hear. So Proverbs 17:10 backs this up. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. Reproof enters into a wise man. Hey, think about that. A fool could get whipped 100 times. You know what I mean? And he's going to gain less than a wise man receiving a rebuke. So sometimes when you hear a little rebuke, just know, hey, this is better, all right? And this is good. That friend is value. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. You know, I can't help but get the term yes man out of my mind. You know, when you go up to somebody and they're like, hey, and you're like, hey, should I do this with my life? Should I make this life choice? Yeah. And I mean, their head's pretty much always north-south. Like, whatever you ask them, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, buddy. Yep, do that, Matt. Do that, Caleb. Mm-hmm. Yep. I come with examples, but anyways, we'll stay on track. All I'm saying, though, is faithful are the wounds of a friend. Sometimes the thing you need to hear isn't yes. Sometimes the thing you need to hear is some faithful word, right? You need to have some good perspective because the way you see things is always going to be the way you see them, and you need that outside perspective. And then we're getting down there. We're almost through. Two left. Lasting friendships keep confidences. So Proverbs 17:9 speaks, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. So you can choose to separate, or you can choose to bond and be close with individuals. You do that by understanding the transgressions and moving forward, helping to grow through that, bringing it up over and over, and repeating that amongst other people or them can divide. You know what I'm saying? So there's a bigger perspective than just that transgression. So last but not least, Proverbs 18:13. He that answereth a matter before he hear it, it is folly and shame unto him. I think we owe it to each other in discipleship, relationship, well, ultimately discipleship in these relationships, that we listen and we first seek to understand so that we can speak to be understood, right? That's a quote. That wasn't the quote to wait for, but it's true. It is so true. Seek to understand first. Don't just start talking. If you are friends and you care and you have purpose, meaning, and that relationship's there, and you're discipling someone, it's not always sunshine and roses. You're going to have to understand, listen, take in all the evidence and facts, and then, with God working through you, be able to share and explain things, all right? So that maybe what you say can be understood. All right, so it's 11:01. Oh, my Lord. All right. In closing, all right? That was 12 verses. We're doing good, all right? So, Pastor, I think, would be proud. But God has given abundant wisdom in his word when it comes to what quality relationships and friendships are, and it is truly beautiful. These relationships are key to walking the path of discipleship as a believer, right? So you're saved, you have this path before you, and discipleship is then that those steps you're going to take. These relationships are key to walking that path, and I hope you guys get to where you're walking it swiftly. Relationships, though, provide a place to multiply joy and divide pain, essentially. And that is true godsend. Lieutenant Colonel David Grossman, retired Army Ranger, speaking on the preparation for combat. And oh, by the way, combat isn't just over in the area of responsibility in the Middle East or whatever. There's spiritual warfare. You all have combat each and every day in your choices, decisions, actions, everything. I have the same combat. So I kind of pull this in, and I'm using it my own way. But he is speaking on the preparation for combat. And he said, pain shared is pain divided, and joy shared is joy multiplied. So I believe God provided us relationships as the singular place to multiply joy and to divide pain as human beings on this planet. So I'll give you some questions to chew on this week and reflect on in your lives and ours. On the spectrum of intimacy in friendships, how many established friendships do you have? Where's your time and energy go? All right? And is there someone who you agreed to walk together with in life in complete trust and loyalty? And are you doing what's necessary on your part with what you have, your resources, to foster and grow that relationship, to disciple potentially those around you? Yes, so today is the first day of the rest of your life. I encourage you guys to get out there and to go, hey, you know what? What's before me right now are things I can choose. And how I want to grow those relationships is completely up to you. So I encourage you to seek to divide the pain in your life and others and multiply the joy. That's all I got. So pray. Yeah. All right. Let's pray, guys. Dear Lord, we just come to you as a church family, and we just thank you. Father, we thank you for the wisdom that you've given to us through the people that have come long ago. God, I just ask that each of us can look inside our own hearts after the testimony and the songs that we sing and the message today. I just ask that you do your work. And if there's anyone out there that needs you, that has questions, that they reach out, that they take that opportunity, they use the 24 hours that you've given all of us, and that we apply it in the best way possible. So we thank you for all you do, and look forward to the days ahead. In your precious name we pray, Father. Amen.